Good afternoon. It's 4:02 on Thursday, June the 11th. I'm calling the regular board meeting for South Woodley Fire EMS to order. And do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I will second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Do we have any public input? Hearing none, let's move on to the consent agenda. I think everyone's had a chance to review this. I had some questions on the overtime positions on two of the accounts.
I would love to hear about
Talk to
that.
that.
Okay, so assuming you are talking about authorized overtime for firefighters, let me get back to that line.
What page are we on? Anybody know?
One second here. Authorized overtime full-time firefighter is going to be page 4. It's going to be the line item 522-22-1001. You can see is down to 3% as of month end. That's going to be over by now. So we're that's going to require a mid-year budget adjustment, clearly. The reasoning for that is we had obviously done an in-house academy. So we had one lieutenant gone for the duration of that last 3 months. We had two people on paternal leave, which we didn't fully anticipate. Well, we didn't anticipate it at all. And we had one on long-term leave of absence. And then we had those firefighters that we hired obviously were away at academy. And seems like we had another overtime impact in there. But at the end of the day, we had six people off essentially. We still have two folks on paternal leave. But we're going to see a big decrease in overtime for the rest of the year, barring any catastrophes, staffing wise, because we have the staff back online. We have Cooper back from leave, and we will eventually get our folks back. But and also we have three additional firefighters that we hired that were new FTEs. So those numbers should come down. That will have to be addressed at mid-year because I do believe we will be over. The next line is going to be authorized overtime for training. We are over by $1,100 and we're halfway through the year. We do have additional fund that's going to also have to be addressed at mid-year, but we can shift additional funds. I believe we will be shifting out of the tuition line that we use for State Academy, and that's got about 16,000, so that will help. But we have had a high rate of spending on that. Were those the two that?
Yeah, those
Okay.
are two.
Chief, while we're talking about expenditures, there's the opposite situation for on the same page, the wildland food. We're showing 100%. I'm assuming that that's reserves put in place for a wildland incident. But I mean, we haven't deployed for wildland fires yet this year.
No, we have not sent anyone this year. We sent late 25, so we haven't really spent on that yet. We have been spending on equipment, spooling that
Yeah.
up. On the positive side with the wildland, we already have 11,000 that we hadn't budgeted for income for state mob personnel in revenue. And excuse me, we got 15,000 there and then about 6,000 for our apparatus. So that should help offset that
So
wildland.
if we have paid or expended 100%
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's a small amount, 1500. Is that like freeze-dried food? Or, I mean, I think of terms of food being perishable.
I need to look to see what exactly that was in the itemized budget, but it's likely MRE type
Okay.
meals,
I'm
not
good
meals
with
ready
that.
to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm getting a nod. Yes, it's MREs.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Civilian, civilian.
That also probably added to the overtime because we had the deployment for the floods, and I think that was January, wasn't it?
Oh, was that January? I was thinking it was late in the year, but yeah, you may be right.
Okay, any other questions on the consent agenda?
Mike.
Okay, in that case, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved.
Bless you.
Okay, let's move on to new business, and the first item is Resolution 2026-09, surplus property.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is surplus property that's coming out of the she shed, as we call it, the small barn at the maintenance facility that we've been clearing out. It's been a ton of work going into that from Chief Dilly and Damien and everybody to get this list together. It's a lot of just old equipment that's been sitting in there for forever.
Yeah, we can never bring ourselves to throw anything away.
No, it's very difficult, and there's going to be more to come the rest of the year because we're still kind of clearing some stuff out. But this will let us try to sell this off in pallets.
Yeah. Outside of the cleanup, is there any other work to do to get that ready for sale in your mind?
So, if for those that couldn't hear, what Chief Dilly's reporting is the radio infrastructure and the antennas on the roof of the old Station 36 will need to be moved off of there, which is going to be more of a technical matter of getting somebody in to make sure that system works once we get it over here, because we still have that running some of our equipment here for station tones and stuff.
Chief, questions on all the surplus. I mean, are we going to need any, like we surplus in a couple of push brooms? We've got a ceremonial shovel. Wouldn't there was a container of flares, but if it had been in there for years, it might be non-usable. We've got various signs. I mean, these are durable items. Some of them are these things that we won't need later, or is it just they've been in the storage facility for so many years? Assumption is they're not ever going to be needed.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff was put in there because we had newer equipment or it really wasn't very
Okay.
functional anymore, but folks had a hard time just tossing it. So
Sounds like
that's
me.
a lot of the stuff and old stuff. We have like stacks of signs that have never been used. You know, there's some stuff that didn't ever, you know, probably never got used, but it just really, we didn't have a call for it. So.
Okay. Yeah, just the only concern is you surplus them, and then all of a sudden someone says, "Oh, we got to get
We
whatever,
gotta buy a new ditch
whatever."
shovel. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I don't think I have any questions on this. I think it's I'm glad to see it going. So, do I have a motion to approve the surplus of resolution 2026-09?
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Let's get rid of it. I have a candidate who might buy some of the hose.
There you go. Let me know if anybody likes computer monitors as well. We have a number of those we've been trying to sell and haven't been able to
I
get
think
anybody to
most of
buy them.
those are CRTs, aren't they?
No, they're not. They're
Well,
flat screen.
my kids could use a forklift.
Okay. Next
Me
item.
too.
is LoSAP update, Chief?
Okay, so I gave a little bit of an update on this during the BVFF meeting. I need to get clarity on which board technically needs to approve that, but LoSAP is a retirement pro one of the retirement programs we offer to the volunteer staff. It's a program we've been involved in for quite some time, and basically it's a 5-year vesting, 63-year-old eligibility, I believe, and could be anywhere from $8 to $250 a month that they receive back at that retirement time. We're really the only district, apparently, in the state that's still on this program. And part of the reason for that is it's got a 5-year vesting. So if we pay into that for 5 years for the individual and they leave at year four, they're never going to see those funds. So we've put a lot of money into it. It's got a relatively low rate of return, in my opinion, for what we pay. And I just, in reviewing that with Vicky Lang over the last few months, we kind of questioned the efficacy of it, and would it be better to take that money and invest it into something different for those volunteers so they definitely get the money back and it doesn't end up staying with flatter investments or whatever. We don't just get it back or anything like that. And so we want to look at that. This was just kind of a teaser to make sure the board was okay with us exploring that, bringing back another option. Once we do that, it doesn't take away any existing benefits. This would just be rather than new folks getting invested in it, now they're going to get the money put into whatever it is.
What would be the cutoff in terms of, so if at the time we decide to stop participating, you've been in for at least 5 years, you're good. And if you've been in for under 5 years, you'll participate in the new program?
My understanding is if they are registered at all, they're in it.
Okay.
Yep. So it would be from the time we make the decision that we'd stop putting new people in. But out of the last several folks that have started in it, a lot of them have been hired. We've hired them into a full time or they got hired somewhere else. So there's kind of more and more of that that makes it, I think, a little less appealing.
I think that initially it was a very good program, but the way it was administered, there was a lot of contention around it. And be interested to see if we can do something different that would provide. And the state deferred comp plan would probably be a good one.
Nice thing about deferred comp is its simplicity, I think. And with the retirement programs, like you said, it gets contentious sometimes because we're like, wait, I should have got a credit for. And it gets into a lot of really intricacies of how the programs work. And sometimes it feels like they might be kind of designed to pay out less. I don't know. But at the end of the day, yeah, something like deferred comp. The money, that's the money. They get the money. Nobody keeps it if they don't vest or something like that, to my knowledge.
No, I'd welcome to look at something
Okay.
different, and my deferred comp account has done 10 times better than my LoSAP account.
Yeah, they're tending to do closer to 10%, whereas LoSAP is 4.25, I think. So, yeah.
It's been a lot better. Okay. Next item is Chief's report.
Okay, so monthly call volume is level pretty much with 25. Anticipate it being higher by the end of the year for 26. Because the next chart down is monthly call volume for 1 year. We look at May. Year over year, we're up about 20, 30 calls for the month of May. Staffing and volunteer engagement is the next page. And you see, of course, fourth is the top line, and we're at 100% staffing for fourth seat. Fifth seat, you can see between April and May, we came up quite a bit as we got folks back from Academy. That's the blue line, and that went from 28% fifth seat coverage to 59% of the time we had five people on. Sixth seat coverage, we went from just 3% of the time up to 15%. We aren't seeing staffing 32 yet much because those folks are new and still going through their checkoffs to be full-fledged out of probation. So those are both up quite a bit. And then, although we have two on paternal leave, we got our recruits and lieutenant back from academy, pushing our fifth and sixth seat coverage right back up. MERV 1 coverage looks lower. However, with a big increase in MERV 2 coverage, we're actually stable from the previous month. So both volunteer participation's up on the MERVs, and those are generally being staffed with two. Recruitment and retention, we have no members ready for approval. We got those folks through the process last time. And we have three new applications in process. We did not have any new resignations for May. Total number of volunteers came up to, we had settled at 39 for quarter two from 37 in quarter one. Participation hours came up to about 2,000 hours in quarter two, up from 1,500 in quarter one. For operations, we have the new firefighters transitioned to shift assignments, bringing staffing levels to at least six personnel assigned to each shift, not on duty, but assigned to the shift. We continue to work on an agreement with the City of Langley for fire inspections. We have two firefighters on parental leave following the birth of their children. The ladder committee met to begin their work on standardizing ladder operations. Volunteer academies underway with six South Whidbey Fire EMS volunteers. Lieutenant Wilkie is serving as the company officer for the academy. She's working them hard. Last night I walked by here and they were all out there with, weight plates over their head, marching up and down, so running them through their paces. Wildland fire season preparations continue, including equipment purchases, personnel, protective equipment, distribution, and deployment readiness planning. So basically planning for what does it look like to deploy crews out and keep staffing the district. A regional wildfire tabletop exercise was successfully conducted at Station 36 this week. We had Island County DEM, Island County Transit, City of Langley, South Whidbey Prepares, Langley PD, Camino Fire, and Central Whidbey Fire were all here. That went really well. We had a pretty full house, and we had a lot of really good conversations around ready, set, go, and evacuations. And those are conversations that are sort of newly happening in my experience, at least in the last, 4 years. And so those are really good conversations to help us plan for disasters. An emergency scene education course is scheduled for June 15th at Station 36 to support ongoing operational readiness. So that's certifying folks to be able to teach EMT classes or EMS type classes. The ambulance preparation for transport operations continues, including the new internet adapter and readiness for the new power load cot. Construction of the new fire engines underway following approval of the final drawings. We're looking at delivery, I think, just after the first of the year, end of the year. Billy's gone. Tender 35 continues to be prepared for surplus. Maintenance staff have completed numerous repairs and preventive maintenance on projects on fire apparatus and support vehicles. We're preparing to paint lines on the concrete in front of the stations. So, like here at Station 36, we have a lot of folks. You guys may or may not have noticed that cell phone coverage drops as soon as you pass the fire station. So, a lot of people like to stop and park in front of the apparatus bays. So, we want to keep that clear.
So is this something the how is this going to be accomplished? Say the surplus or the paint lines, this would declare that these are voting for people to be parking.
Right. Yeah, it'll be like angled stripes along the thing, no parking. Yeah, we have just a little roller that paints them on the ground. So, maintenance personnel continue inventory and preparation of surplus equipment for future sale. Station 36's training facility continues to support recruit academies, volunteer training, and department-wide exercises. Planning and procurement efforts continue for wildland equipment and apparatus readiness. Okay, then training. Monthly training was focused on tender operations, search and rescue, using the new training tower with both Central Whidbey and South Whidbey, bleeding and shock medical training, AmeriGas systems and district review, and strategy and tactics using simulations, so computer simulations to practice, sort of command on buyers.
What does America, the AmeriGas systems mean?
I think what he's meaning is I'm not entirely certain, but I think he's meaning a propane system. I should have double checked
Think he's
that.
online. Does he want to tell
Is
us?
Snag on there? Chief M, can you elaborate on the AmeriGas system?
Yes. Each year they send us information about the different systems they
Yes,
have in
we
our
do.
district.
Oh, I don't know if we
And
have the audio piped in.
okay.
It's no biggie.
No biggie. Okay, we'll follow
Okay.
up. Upcoming events. So we had yesterday. So first of all, we had our newsletter come out. You guys may have seen it in conjunction. I think it came out well. We were hoping it would have posted a little sooner ahead of what we had was the babysitter CPR class. So we have worked, Sherry's worked closely with Robbie and with folks from the school district. We put together a babysitter CPR class, which is first aid, like bleeding control. There's a whole module in it on how to like run a babysitting business almost, which is kind of cool. We had 50 folks sign up for it ish, and 35 showed up. Yeah, and completed the class. So that's a whole bunch of more CPR trained youngsters in the school district. So that was very successful. I think everybody's really happy with that. And we had a good group. We ended up with, I think, with three folks going to teach it. And they had a lot of fun. The Thunder Run event is this weekend, June 13th, at the airport. We're going to have crews up there helping with that.
And what is Thunder Run?
So Thunder Run is through the airport, and they essentially practice flying equipment or people in to the island in the event of a disaster, I think sums it up.
Okay. Supplies.
So equipment and supplies, yeah. And so yeah, we'll participate in that. We participated last year. We took a little bit more active role this year in it. So Commissioner Erickson, do you have anything to add on it? You know a bit about it?
I haven't been tracking it closely this year. I just
Okay.
knew it was coming up. It sounds like becoming more and more robust. And I appreciate the district stepping up to keep making it better.
Yeah. Cool. So that'll be fun. And then we got the ice cream social on June 27th.
So what kind of ice cream is going to be available?
There's going to be pralines and no Neapolitan. That's it. No. We'll have, I'm imagining they're gonna have ice, vanilla and chocolate, but I
That's
don't
at
know.
the Freeman Library. Is
I
that right?
believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I have on my calendar.
And then we got National Night Out is coming up in on August 4th, so there'll be more to follow on that for sure.
Chief, one question on the resources. We refer to Tender 35 continuing to be prepared for surplus auction. What do you do to prepare a product, a piece of equipment to be surplus like that?
Well, they have to strip all the equipment off of it, rehouse that, make sure it's ready to be sold. Which doesn't seem like it'd be that involved, but it can be. with everything mounted on and everything. Okay, any other questions on the report?
Next item is hazard mitigation plan.
Okay, just a second here, and I think Mr. Boyd, Lieutenant Boyd, is putting that up. PowerPoints have been defeating us here lately. You might have to minimize the word. Oh, there we go. Okay. And there you go. Okay. So what we're going over here, and we'll welcome any input on this from the board or any public that might be in the room, is the county is updating what they call the hazard mitigation plan, which is a document that the county has to have for emergencies. And they've hired a consultant to do that. She's been working through the process. Part of it is for each district and municipality, they have to rank the hazards. So basically, what I want to do here tonight is just present to you the hazard rankings that they have and see if the board has any feedback on those. This risk assessment is part of an update to Island County's hazard mitigation plan. SWFE has already conducted a hazard risk assessment as part of our community risk assessment standard of cover, which you guys are familiar with. The county's assessment is based on standard worksheet as well as past disaster declarations. So they went back and look at disaster declarations, I think, into the 80s. Where have we declared disasters? It's predominantly been for some landslides and storms. Our existing assessment closely matches the proposed assessment, and this is an opportunity to give feedback on the county's assessment. Next slide, please. This one's kind of hard to see. It is in your book. This is the table that the county's put together. If you look down the left-hand side, it's the types of hazards that we're looking at. And if you look on the right-hand side, is the level of vulnerability. So we've got coastal erosion, dam failure, drought, earthquake, flood, landslide, severe weather, tsunami, volcano, and wildfire. That if you look at the small chart underneath that in blue, that is the hazard ranking, with earthquake being number one and volcano being number 10 with a low level. Now, the system that the county and I think that the federal government uses, it takes into consideration the extent, the severity, the probability, and all those things, and creates the CPRI score and uses that to rank them. When we did our assessment, we didn't rank them against each other. So what we have up on the screen now is if we take the way that we classified them and put them in a rank. I have done that on the screen on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side is the county's proposed ranking. You'll see they're almost the same. So we've got earthquake number one, they've got earthquake number one, they've got volcano 10, we've got volcano 10. The one notable flip-flop, I think, is severe weather and landslide slash coastal erosion, which we grouped together as one. They had us separate. We called landslide coastal erosion number two, the higher number two and three, and we called severe weather number four. Otherwise, they're mostly the same. You will note we've got seven. If we assign two and three to landslide and coastal erosion, they've got 10. So, if we go to the next slide, you'll see the ones that we did not previously assess were dam failure, drought, and flood. Those are drought particularly is a possibility that could be bad. It's just we took more of a response approach to it. The drought was generally more of a long-term thing with other consequences. Okay, next slide, please. So, in essence, we're ranked about the same as what the county's proposing. What these next seven slides are going to be, or six slides actually, is going to be is what the county said it was versus our ranking system, which we said the risk, the probability, and the consequence. So, county called this earthquake risk is high. We said high consequence, moderate risk, and lower probability, meaning there's less chance it's going to happen any given day. It will happen. Don't know when. Okay. Severe weather, they called high. We said high probability, moderate risk, moderate consequences. Landslide and coastal erosion, they said medium. We said high risk, high probability, high consequence. This is the one where we're a little off from what the county ranked. Now, I think when we look at coastal erosion landslide, it's going to be a smaller area where this happens.
Is the South End very different geographically, or is there a different methodology that's landing us at a different conclusion?
This is for South End. So the county's, it's
Right.
for us.
But if the county is saying medium and we're saying high, are we do we need to reconcile it, or just pointing out the difference? Does it have a significant impact on how we plan?
It doesn't, in my opinion, and it doesn't for the counties either. It kind of shines a light on what's going to be the worst. The rankings are about the same. The one actionable thing we could do would be to say, gee, we think you ought to move this up the list.
Do we tend to have more landslides on the South End than elsewhere in the county?
Yeah, the soils as you get to the north end of the island, you get up to bedrock at the bridge and sort of more sand as you get further south. And down here where it's a sandbar.
By the Wilson.
Yeah.
So it is more probable a higher risk for
I
us.
think so. Yep.
Okay.
And then the disaster declarations, I think, support it too. So we could say, hey, we think you ought to move this up, but like I said, we're about there anyways.
So it just means we might focus on it a little bit more than countywide.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So Chief, on this same subject, I mean, I look out to Sunlight Shores and Vista and all that, and then those ones that are across the bay from us with global warming. And contrary to some people in DC, global warming's real. So the future, if we have 2 to 3 inches, even another 2 inches increase in the sea level out there, those low bank houses are in jeopardy. But on the short term, I mean, in my neighborhood, there's about 100 foot or plus drop off. And even at the lower level, it would take quite a bit of increase in sea level before the waves are at the base. So the question I have is, we say it's a high probability in the future, yes, but I question whether we have a high probability in the next 10 to 15 or 20 years for landslides or coastal erosion. So, I mean, does it make any difference that we are high and they're medium?
No, I think because we had those severe landslides that took the houses off by Langley and those areas, they're actively coming off the edge. So I think
Okay.
that's kind of where going,
All
okay,
right.
those are gonna go. I
We
mean,
we've had a number, and the South End and Central had probably the biggest with the bump. The other thing I wonder is whether we're looking at coastal erosion. We're not dealing with flooding. I'm wondering if they're taking a lot of the damage issues from king tides and this kind of thing as being part of flooding, and that we've moved them into this because those are becoming very
Oh, right.
frequent.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So they're breaking out flood separately, so we're kind of rolling them in together, so that could
Yeah.
make more sense. Yeah.
Because that's something that we're seeing every winter.
Yes.
And, kayaking along the coast, I see sandbags out regularly at winter now. 5 years ago, hardly ever saw one.
Interesting. So that's quick rate of change.
So the term flooding, when I first saw that, I made a note, it said where I was thinking of riverine flooding. So we're talking about sea level incursion. It's included in the term flooding.
For this case, I think they're talking about flood as a traditional flood versus coastal
Yes, I
erosion.
mean, because I mean,
But you could have sea saltwater flooding as well.
yeah, but I
So,
mean,
yeah.
where would we have a river that would be flooding? And there aren't, there's not too many rivers on the south end that do much flooding. We
No,
have
that's
some streams.
we didn't even include it in ours.
Okay.
Yeah, and they ranked it at 8 as low, just because dam failure is what they thought was even lower, I guess. Okay. Wildfire risk, they called medium. We called, I think, moderate is what moderate slash medium. Medium risk, low probability, high consequence if we had a wildfire. To be clear, really, when we're talking about a wildfire versus a brush fire is a small sort of a nuisance fire, which we get regularly. A wildfire would be like ripping through the timbers kind of thing. Not very high probability to happen here. If it did, it would be bad.
Is there a size qualification, like so many acres versus 10 square yards?
I don't know if there's a specific breakover on it.
You just
Or
know.
if it's nuanced. Yeah, like a crowning wildfire, like a
Okay.
crowning fire would typically be a wildfire versus a brush fire is more the ground fuels with occasional torching of a timber.
Think it's a long time since we've had a crown. Forest fire.
Yeah.
We've had them, but not recently.
Yeah, those are scary. Tsunami, the DEM's calling it low. We are also calling it low probability, moderate risk with high consequence. When we look at the tsunami flood maps, which we did in our community risk assessment, it's fairly specific in small areas that are in danger. And I think volcano is the only other one, which we all called low. We call that volcanic ash fallout, which we do have some risk of, obviously.
Chief, I do have kind of an off-the-wall thought here. We have the Bangor Navy base across the sound. Right now, the way things are, the Russians, they're allied with the current administration, so I don't think we'll have a problem with incoming missiles to Bangor or Bremerton or Everett. But in the days of the Soviet Union, the technician was on duty and he observed what were thought to be incoming missiles from the US. He was knew the system well enough that he saw there was false positive. So we didn't go to World War III 15, 20 years ago. So my question is, it's a low probability, but if you had a nuclear incident, and just use Bangor being the closest, should that be at least people cognizant that there's a remote chance that we could have radiation from any one of those three sites that I mentioned?
Yeah. And I didn't break them out in here, but there's a number of different risks that we assessed in there that we didn't, that I didn't put in this presentation because the county didn't assess them. Yeah. But yeah, that'd be an interesting one to look at. I know most of the nuclear training, we've been provided some sensors throughout the region. We call them, I'm trying to remember the term of the one that detects nuclear, but a lot of the risk that we trained on in that case would be a dirty bomb, which is more of a psychological weapon. That there's a risk of nuclear problems, you know.
Well, it's just something that I hope never happens. But the guy was, he retired out as a pensioner, and nobody really mourned his passing, but he is a savior of humankind. So,
Yes.
anyway, just a thought.
Okay. I like it. Do we have any other thoughts on that from the commissioners? Is there anything we would like me to take back to the county and say, hey, we think this is off?
I think I agree with your assessments. Think it simplifies it a bit. Don't really think there's any point in looking at flooding. There's a few low areas, but if you're going to catch that under coastal erosion, there's almost nothing left to flood.
If you look at the probability of all those incidents, winter storms are the highest potential for occurring and can potentially have a short-term problem. I mean, I've seen Bayview look like a war zone in the winter. So
Yeah.
that's, to me, is the one that you're going to see the most of. When we have an earthquake on the Whidbey Faults, you know what's going to hit the ventilator, but the low probability. It may never happen, because I think they say the last one was 1,000 years ago. So, good job.
I know that having a hazard mitigation plan in place is useful for certain state and federal requirements, participating in certain disaster assistance programs. I'm curious if there's anything else that's not on my radar about kind of what's coming next with all of this. It's always useful to have a clear assessment on what should we plan for, what are we expecting in terms of potential impact, potential chance of probability. But moving ahead, do we have like a timeline for completion and any other kind of aspects of this mitigation plan that we should keep on our radars?
I don't have on just offhand what the completion date is, but they're rapidly approaching it, I believe. The like I said, they hired a consulting firm. I think it's Stonebridge, and she's been working through it. We have not historically had a lot of involvement in it. However, there's been a change at DEM, and we're working far closer with them.
They have a new
So
person, is that right?
yeah, they do. Justin Ross is a new DEM director, so he's
Oh.
we've been working really closely together, and they were here for they put together the Wildland Fire Tabletop,
Okay.
and so we're doing a tabletop at least quarterly with them. We got another one coming up for the fair, Allen County Fair.
That's great.
So this is as active as I think DEM has been here, and it's a really good sign. I think it's a bright future with them.
It aligns with our strategic plan of fostering better relationships with our partners, so that's great. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah, it's awesome, and all those things that we've been wanting to do, getting better connections with the state and figuring out what does it look like to exercise those relationships in case of a disaster, that's all kind of coming together. So it's been really good.
Wonderful.
Okay. Any announcements?
I don't have any further.
Hearing none, any comments from commissions? Comments?
Not really.
I just have a couple of questions that the newspaper within the past 2 weeks had not a pretty but a straightforward report about North Whidbey Fire. And a couple of things that struck me that I just asked your thoughts on, Chief. Talked about the turnover and from the volunteers to the paid, and the best can say disharmony between the volunteers and the paid firefighters, EMTs. And I just, it was there, but how do we compare to what that was reported?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that it starts at the top with the commissioners. And if, and I'm not blowing sunshine here, it's a actual fact that we have a great relationship. We have a board of three commissioners who understand the mission, who want nothing more than to succeed in that mission. And when we have that, everything else gets really easy. I think we have good relationships with the crews. I hope so. We try to foster that, and it all is gets very difficult if we don't have proper support from both, and even beyond the commissioners, the public. But the public can't understand what they don't know, and what we don't ask, they can't give us what we don't ask for. So, hats off to you guys.
And
Honestly.
to anybody listening, I didn't prep the chief on this.
Nope.
Right.
Okay. Any more comments? Okay, with that, we're going to call a short executive session, discuss a real estate, possible real estate acquisition. Perhaps update on that. 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We reconvene at 5:10.
Okay.
Thank you.
Like, now's the time to vanish. Smells really good in here.
Yeah, salary got bigger.
We recording? Okay. It's 5:10. We've completed the executive session. There is no action taken. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Let's go home.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chief, that's the insurance agent I told.